answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, we interrupt our regular programming because the president of Iran just said something that doesn't get said by heads of state unless the situation has become desperate beyond repair. Something that represents not merely a diplomatic statement, but a public acknowledgement of strategic catastrophe. A confession wrapped in defiance that the Islamic Republic has entered a phase of existential crisis from which there may be no return. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian, in an interview posted to the official website of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei this weekend, declared that Iran is in a full-scale war with the United States, Israel, and Europe. Not a proxy war, not an economic confrontation, not even a covert intelligence struggle, a full-scale war. Those were his exact words.
That's Rachel Maddow, and she is correct when she says the Iranian leader says we are in a full-scale war with the U.S. and others. Now, they're not shooting at us. They don't have the ability to do that, but they will continue out terrorist activities as best they can and any other options they have. Part of that deals with their ballistic missiles, which could, in fact, again, target Israel and neighboring states if they are going to be opposed to Iran. We'll get into that in more detail, but what is happening right now in Iran is many citizens rallying against the Khomeini leadership, and they want freedom. They just want freedom out from under the dictatorship. No dictator is just going to give the keys back to them. And those protesting in the streets, they might be met and have been met with a bullet to the head. Thanks for joining us. Hour number two, Larry Connors USA, December 30, 2025. And with Larry Connors USA, we're going to give you news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you had when we began that hour. I promise you that. Reminding you, we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can watch the program if you choose to do so. When we're on the air, like right now, you can go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook, and watch the program as it's in progress. If you miss any part of the program, you want to go back and listen again or watch something, or more importantly, pull it up as a podcast and share with others, go to Newstalk STL for the podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. Pull it up at your pleasure. Listen, watch, and then share with others. Get them involved. Later in this hour, the Homeland Security investigation on Somalia fraud. But it's not just Somalia being involved in that fraud, but we're going to get into some details of how some of the Somalia bulk cash was gathered up by Somalian men and transported out of our nation with full knowledge of law enforcement. Now, what would happen to you if you started trying to transport millions of dollars to some other country? Now, these men will claim that they're special couriers. I would claim I'm a special courier, too. But the issue is, where did you get this money? And what crimes were committed to provide this money? If it came through Somalia fraud, obviously it should be seized. I'll let you hear from a investigator for the Homeland Security talking about how he tried to stop it, and no one would back him up. That's coming up a little bit later. Now, dealing with Iran again. An ABC report tells you just how things are unfolding in Iran.
Protests are gathering momentum in Iran, and this is already the biggest challenge to the regime since the massive demonstrations of 2021. Videos online show riot police deploying tear gas on crowds, and thousands have come out onto the streets, angry about inflation and corruption. Protesters can be heard chanting, "Don't be afraid, we are all together." But others chant, "Death to the dictator." And the concern for the government will be that this anger at the economic situation morphs into a broader anti-regime movement. Iran's currency has collapsed to a record low, pushing an already heavily sanctioned economy deeper into turmoil. The protests have spread to multiple cities, and the unrest has already caused the head of the central bank to resign. The president, Masoud Pezeshkian, has taken the unusual step of acknowledging the concerns of protesters, but that isn't doing much to appease those on the street. Much of Iran's economic troubles stem from the nuclear-related sanctions reimposed by the United Nations, which froze Iranian assets abroad and limited oil trade. This is, of course, after the U.S. struck three Iranian nuclear sites over the summer. And yesterday, President Trump said the U.S. would knock the hell out of Iran if they build more weapons.
Now, the latest word is they are rebuilding, reconforming their ballistic missile effort. They may not have a nuclear tip at the end of it, but they have the ability to put gas. That's a weapon of mass destruction. The very thing I kept insisting while we had many claim, well, we looked into Iran, we never found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq when we went in. If they were capable of producing in mass quantities poisonous gas, that is a weapon of mass destruction. Iran is now apparently deciding we will get our ballistic missiles up and going, but we won't have a nuclear warhead, but we can drop gas into various communities in Israel. That's a weapon of mass destruction. You can't allow that to be taking place. In fact, Senator John Fetterman, Democrat, said he would support any strikes to scuttle any Iranian nuclear weapons. He said Iran can never develop a nuclear weapon, but they also had to look at the ballistic missiles and how they can be tipped with gas, not nuclear warheads. Retired four-star General Jack Keane on the Iran missile.
Major weapon that they use to attack Israel. Drones don't matter. Their air power is negligible when it comes to the Israelis. The only weapon they have to attack them is obviously those ballistic missiles, and we're not going to permit them to recover. The Israelis will likely attack it, and if necessary, so will the United States. The other means they have is obviously a nuclear weapon. And as the president indicated, while their intent is to recover their nuclear program, they really haven't started to do it yet. But when they do, and we know where they're going to do it, they're likely going to intervene with an attack on that as well.
As we should. We cannot let them restart any nuclear production. Cannot do it. But we have to also be worried about them resuming ballistic missile production and tipping it with poisonous gas. Not just explosives, but gas. You take any ballistic missile they had fired in the past into Israel and you fill it with not a nuclear weapon, but a gas that would cause mass casualties. You don't even want to think about what could happen. Not as severe as a nuclear weapon, but it would cause death and carnage all around the strike point. In the meantime, these protesters, they're just trying to get out from under the control of the very government that we know is going to try to destroy anyone that does not stand with them. And those students and shopkeepers and average Iranian citizens in the streets protesting, there's going to be massive fallout.
Iran's currency has fallen to historic lows, more than 1,400,000 rials for a single dollar. Iran's National Truckers Union backing the bizarre protests, calling for unity, saying it is the only way out. Universities, the chants grow louder. Students at the University of Tehran, surrounded by security forces, refusing to be silent. Do not be afraid, they chant. Students may die, but they will not accept humiliation. The U.S. State Department posted videos of the nighttime chants. American officials say they stand with the protesters.
They stand with them, but of course we're not in line with them. And those protesters saying we will not accept humility, they might end up, again, as we said, with a bullet in their head. Iranian forces have fired upon their own citizens, live bullets. The casualty reports, not clear. A lot of the information being contained. Iran has done everything it can from keeping any information coming out of their nation. But as you heard, the Iranian rial has already dropped. It used to trade at 820,000 rials. That's their basic currency for $1. One U.S. dollar, 820,000 rials. Now it's up to 1.4 million. 55% inflation. And it's not going to end anytime soon, and the inflation will not disappear with a flick of a switch, regardless of what takes place next. The Iranians just want freedom. I do not want us to be involved in troops or anything else with them, but you can keep them in your prayers. And of course, we can't even get weapons to the, not legally and with full knowledge, to the Iranian protesters at this time. But they are putting their lives on the line, trying to bring a more Democrat response in Iran as opposed to dictatorship. We continue to learn more about the fraud in Minnesota. Yes, mostly inside the Somalia community.
Nome posting video of Homeland Security investigators on the ground in Minneapolis, saying they are, quote, conducting a massive investigation on childcare and other rampant fraud. Their investigation following a viral video that has nearly 114 million views on X, where independent journalist Nick Shirley appears to show daycares and other businesses that received millions in state funds with no kids inside. Correspondent Garrett Kenny is live with more.
Yeah, Molly, the latest example of these fraud schemes in Minnesota are child care centers, where rampant fraud has seemingly been allowed to go on for years now. Quality Learning Center is just one of the child care centers that federal investigators are now looking into. And there are plenty of red flags, starting with the sign on its building that doesn't even spell learning right. Over the past 3 years, the business has been cited for more than 120 violations for all kinds of things, including for not having proper documentation for all of the kids there. Despite that, from 2019 to 2024, the business received nearly $8 million in federal tax money.
Any American concerned about where the money is going and how it's being ripped away from American families should be wanting full justice, accountability, and jail time for those involved. But of course, if you start yelling that, you're going to be accused of being a racist. Well, I'm going to yell it every day. Call me a racist if you want, but I say accountability. And I've got some support from a CNN political commentator, also served as a Harris Communications Director, Jamal Simmons. He said, Democrats have got to get their act together about going after fraud with the same level of strength and vitality about what's wrong and happening inside government. He said, if we're the party supposed to be stewarding public money and we're making sure that it's working well, we have to show the American people we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure their tax dollars are spent well. He said, this is a place we might agree. Democrats have to get their act together, go after fraud. But he said, we have to show the American people we're going to do what it takes to make sure their tax dollars are spent well. Well, you look at what's happening with Somalia fraud in Minnesota, and yes, it's mostly inside the Somali community, then you have to recognize we're not doing enough. And yet you've got the leftists leaning closer into the Somali community trying to protect them. Why? Well, because they don't want to be seen as racist, and they don't want you to stereotype all Somalia residents. We're not doing that. We're pointing out the crime has been coming out of the Somalia neighborhoods in Minnesota. And has been documented for some time. Of the arrests recently, 98 charged, 85 of them are Somalia residents. I should say Somalia citizens. Maybe now U.S. citizens, but they came from Somalia. They know how to make the moves work. And yet you get a New York Times writer, Mara Gay, saying they are trying to scapegoat the Somalia population.
First of all, if there is fraud there, that should be fully investigated, no matter where it is, whether it's in a Democratic-led state, a Republican-led state. I mean, let's pull back. So absolutely, it should be investigated. The question is, you know, why is this a priority in a different kind of way? The politicization of the DOJ and the FBI is undeniable. So whether they are reliable narrators is the big question. And this is what happens when you weaponize and politicize federal agencies that are not meant to be, politicized. Mm. And I think the American people are right to ask the question, well, can we trust you?
Did she raise that question when Joe Biden was weaponizing the DOJ against American citizens? Not once. None of them did. But that's their fallback line. Well, we can't have weaponization of our government. You did during Joe Biden, and you did not complain one bit. And we're not weaponizing the government just to be doing it. We're doing it because we want accountability. But these leftists, they just hold close everything that would meet their fraudulent scams. And Mara Gay from the New York Times points out, hey, look, this is happening in other states also.
Let's recall, too, that there's also other scandals in other states. For example, the Mississippi welfare scandal. And this is not unique to politics. Americans know that. But of course, the other factor here is that because it looks like the Somali population in Minnesota, the Somali immigrant population may have been involved in some way, those people are being scapegoated. And that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right. And so that's also something to keep an eye on. And that's inappropriate. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You call it inappropriate, but you don't want to bring it into it. And you want to spread blame out to others. Yes, fraud is happening in other states and with citizens other than Somalia descent. I'll give you a perfect example. There's a gift card scheme that's been run by Latvian nationals in the U.S. illegally. In Texas, they were averaging an alleged $14 million in their fraud scheme. They started in Texas and spread it through several states. This is apparently just three men illegally migrating to the U.S. from Eastern Europe. They've been stealing gift cards from roughly 10 stores a day, 7 days a week, going back to May of this year. They take the card, the material on the back that covers up the numbers to transfer anything or activate the card is removed so they can see it. And then they put the card back on the shelf for some consumer to buy it as a gift card. And yet when they activate it, the money goes right to them. And whatever they buy, they now have the ability to transfer money off that card and onto another card. They found, when they arrested these three, 400 gift cards on them. And they targeted stores all across Texas, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and apparently in other states as well. Criminals are criminals. It doesn't make any difference their background. That's what they do. It's in their DNA. Coming up, a former home security investigator on how Somalians were moving cash in bulk through U.S. airports. He saw it. He identified it. He called the alarm. And what happened then? You're not going to like it. Plus, Trump hitting a Venezuelan refinery directly in Venezuela. Is that a precursor of what's to come? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MaguireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. VincentsJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
See the ways of this world just bring you to tears. Keep the Lord in your heart and you'll have nothing to fear. Live the best that you can and don't lie and don't steal. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Well, Daddy, I've been trying. I just can't catch a break. There's too much in this world I can't seem to shake.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Over the next several months, we executed several search warrants throughout South Minneapolis, Lake Street, and different areas at these daycares. Never, not one of the daycares I served warrants on, not one person was ever present. Just empty buildings, stacks of invoices and student records of people that our surveillance showed never went there. Nobody ever came in and out of these daycares. It was just completely empty from my experience. Never was occupied daycare. And like I said, I worked at for 3-4 months. I was assigned that case just as a support person to assist with anything needing as far as financial experiences we have with HSI and our immigration authorities and ability to pull records and stuff like that. And ultimately, task force just kind of went away. Not sure whatever happened to it. I just, the meetings, I would get email notices when their next planning meeting, what we're going to do next. And all of a sudden it just evaporated, just went away into thin air. No idea whatever happened with the case.
I can tell you what happened with it. Nothing. That is a former Homeland Security investigator. They were already looking into Somalia fraud and specific involving the Somali community in Minnesota dealing with daycare centers. Don't forget the autistic program they were running. They would sign up kids under an autistic program and not really know if they were autistic or not. They would bring in people who were not qualified to determine that just so they could say, here's someone else go in our autistic program. We need more federal dollars. Send us more federal dollars. You know, you have to understand that robs children that deal with autism that really need help. Inside Somalia's community in Minnesota and elsewhere through the state of Minnesota, if you're robbing money from kids who need it, can you justify that? Well, yes, you can, if it buys you a life of luxury and not worrying about your next bill. Let the families suffer. Let them suffer. We don't care. That was the attitude of those involved in the graft inside Minnesota, just within the Somalia fraud of welfare daycare centers for children. And that was just, again, as they say, the tip of the iceberg. The numbers we have been given so far says $9 billion in fraud, and no one knows, in fact, no one believes that is going to be the final number. But if you had a luxury shop and you sold Rolexes, high-end jewelry, or you were selling high-end cars, you were going to see a good income in your business because a lot of that money got dumped into those kinds of things for the Somalians who were busy and active in the fraud. Those that were not active in it and were just subject to it, they just had to suffer. Let them suffer. We're going to have their cake and eat it too. And that former Homeland Security investigator was pointing out, we were doing this years ago. We were looking into it. So when Walls claims that I've been doing everything, you had not been doing everything. 500 members at a minimum inside his own health department had said, there is fraud going on here. They were waving the flag. They were firing rockets over his bow. Pay attention. But he didn't want to do it. Why? Because he counts on the Somalian community to support him in running for governor. It's a large block of votes. And then there were reports coming out. Some Somalis were told, you can vouch for 8 or 9 other people if you think they would vote for the governor. You can just go and cast a vote for them. They were allowing that kind of stuff to happen. Do you see anything there that resembles U.S. procedures and legality? No, you don't. And then one of the biggest things that obviously we should be concerned about, they were moving from time to time, bulk cash, millions of dollars, through airports. It was spotted and was called out, but they were told, oh, it's going to be okay. Really? And once again, that former home security inspector, when he saw this bulk cash, millions of dollars, inside one suitcase, one of many cases he intercepted.
So we were stopping and investigating persons leaving the country with this money. And yes, they were declaring it. They weren't hiding the money. They weren't secreting it in luggage. They were declaring it. They were registered money service business couriers. However, our argument at the time and why we kept the case going, and I say we as an HSI, we really thought it knew it was, I mean, common sense was telling us this money was coming from nefarious sources, from fraud. And you can do everything legal, but if the currency you're carrying is from an illegal source, well, i.e. the drug smuggling, human smuggling, illegal counterfeiting goods, whatever, if you have illegal money, that money is illegal and subject to seizure. So we kept a case open for months and months, and every time we would get called from the TSA, we would respond to the airport. We would document the case. We would, who was taking the money out, how much money, that was declared. Even called these, personally, I did myself call the U.S. Attorney's Office and try to get a criminal referral for bulk cash smuggling, explaining, I believe this is nefarious money. It's going out. It's from illegitimate sources. And I was politely told, no, and they're doing everything legal. They're money couriers and they're registered, either with FinCEN or the state. And I'm like, nah, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. And that was part of an interview on the Liz Collins podcast with this former Homeland Security inspector. He's calling attention to bulk cash going out of our nation. If it's all legal, why do you need a money courier to handle that kind of money on an airplane flight going to a third world country? If it's all legal, why aren't they using wire transfers and things of that nature? Because they want immediate cash in various denominations so they can quickly disperse it. Just as Obama gave to Iran when he was in office, sending millions of dollars on overnight flights into Iran, saying, we know this is your money, we're returning it, which we did not have to return. Iran was claiming it was theirs, and they had reimbursements for things we had seized when they took over our embassy. And the idea was they had to go through an international court to get that money. But Obama said, no, let's let them have it back. We're not going to fight it anymore. And how did that money get dispersed? To various terrorist organizations. And there's no doubt the money that was grabbed here was going in that same direction. The agent pointed out one particular case.
There was an incident, I can't even remember the exact year off the top of my head, involving an imam that traveled to Minneapolis. And in his travels, we discovered that he didn't have his paperwork up to date with USCIS. And part of being a non-citizen and being under the purview of immigration law in the United States, you have to follow certain rules. You have to keep your addresses up to date. You got to keep you got to make sure you file your taxes. You can't be a public charge. You have all these requirements. Well, it became known to us through a missing persons case with a missing young female juvenile that this imam may have some activity involving this young female. Ultimately, I did find that imam. I did arrest him for not having current documentation with USCIS. And ultimately, that case, I was one of the few times in my career was actually told to unarrest somebody. We had him in custody for 2 days. I had filed immigration charges, civil administrative immigration charges against him, not criminal, but he, due process was done. And there was an administrative complaint filed, an administrative warrant, all that. He was set up for immigration court. And the political storm that followed from arresting an imam in the Somali community got so intense that I was told from the top of our administration that we need to cancel that notice to appear, what is a charging document, immigration court, and release him from custody. And I have serious, serious concerns about his intentions in the Minneapolis community. This was not a thing going after him for an imam. This was public safety dealing with young juvenile females. And I won't get into specifics on that, but hopefully your listeners can understand what I'm talking about with that.
Yeah, you can read between the lines. It suggests the imam was involved in child trafficking at the very least. But he was an imam inside the Muslim community, in Somalia community, inside Minnesota. Hands off. Is that how we now decide law and order? Yes, it is in the view of the leftist. Once again, this agent on some of the experience he got in watching over all this sham taking place.
In my 16 years, especially with HSI, I presented multiple immigration fraud cases where persons had lied, cheated, you know, misconstrued information on immigration applications. And in my experience, in my personal experience, I never once had one case accepted for prosecution for immigration fraud from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Not one. And I presented some pretty damning cases that involve people deaths. Circumstances where homicides were involved, circumstances where children were killed, and not one time was ever a case prosecuted.
Not one time. And when he did prosecute one case against an imam, he was told, you need to just simply drop the charges, unarrest him. That's protection, as provided by the state of Minnesota and our federal government at that point under the Biden administration. The welfare cases in Somalia, or rather in Minnesota, are not the only fraud we've seen. Housing and Urban Development unveiling more fraud. And Illinois listeners, you want to pay attention to a new gun law that goes into effect New Year's Day. That's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As I was saying, there is a new report from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development revealing billions in taxpayer funds that went to questionable rental assistance recipients under former President Joe Biden. No surprise there. Thank you, Joe Biden. The recipients included approximately, according to the statements issued by the New York Post, relying on the documentation, 30,000 deceased tenants, thousands of potential non-citizens, all this from the agency's financial report for the fiscal year 2025. A large concentration of those scams and stealers were involved in New York, California, and D.C. And deceased recipients were getting funds in all 50 states. Again, 30,000 deceased still getting welfare money, housing and urban development support. HUD Secretary Scott Turner said a massive abuse of taxpayer dollars not only occurred under Joe Biden's watch, but was effectively incentivized by his administration's failure to implement strong financial controls, resulting in billions worth of improper payments. If you know something's wrong, you want to put a stop to it right then. Even while they're investigating it and pointing it out, you've sent money to 15,000 people that are dead. You're going to give them better housing? You're going to get them out of the grave, put them in some new place? But the Biden administration just looked away. That's how these scams ramp up as big as they are. Because the administration, either under the Joe Biden administration or the Walls campaign administration and others, they just don't want to bother with uncovering this kind of fraud because they think they're going to get some payback by votes, if nothing else. That is a pro quid quo. It is. They're going to let these guys go and unchecked, thinking they'll end up supporting us the next election. In fiscal year 2024, HUD distributed about $50 billion in federal rental assistance to non-federal entities. And that includes $5.8 billion of what they now say questionable payments. $5.8 billion. HUD pointed the finger at the Biden administration for a directive. Pushed the funding out the door with minimal oversight. See, they did not care where it went, just as long as we're shoveling cash into the hands of some who might support us in the future. HUD now has to confirm whether the fraud occurred and the extent of it before it can determine whether funding should be paused or revoked and if criminal references, referrals are needed. I'd say yes. I want criminal referrals. I want accountability. And that's happening elsewhere across the nation, not just in Minnesota. And that's one example. And that was inside the Department of Housing and Urban Development, not the Homeland Security issue with welfare fraud, money for autistic children who were not autistic. Anywhere they can find a chance to grab taxpayers' dollars, they were doing it. You're not going to see anything from the left about, well, maybe we shouldn't have done it that way. Right. Because they're all about making sure the people they want to benefit do get benefits. By the way, there's a sweeping reversal of the Biden administration's pro-abortion agenda. The Trump administration is barring the Department of Veterans Affairs from aborting unborn babies of veterans and their dependents. Good. We're not going to allow an arm of our government, Veterans Affairs, take part in abortion. This was based upon a Biden-era opinion that allowed the VA to provide abortions and abortion counseling to pregnant vets and their dependents. All taxpayer abortions. They want you to believe that this was essential for the women. It was not essential for the women. It was a death sentence for the unborn. This is the way they try to get around the most recent Supreme Court Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade. that in 1973 ruled that there was a constitutional right to abortion. It's not in the Constitution, never should have been approved, but they continued to do it under the guise of helping women, women's care. Now, if the newborn baby, unborn baby, is female, well, you know, that was just one female that did not get care. They got a death sentence. State of Illinois, listen up. There's a new law going into effect January 1 regarding guns. This was passed by a Senate Bill 8 known as a Safe Storage Act. A firearm owner shall not store or keep any firearm in any premises where the firearm owner knows or reasonably should know a minor without lawful permission or anyone like that could gain access to the firearm. So all firearms must be in a locked container. I don't have an issue with that. I believe if you're going to own a gun, a weapon of that type, you are responsible for making sure it's in responsible hands. You cannot leave a gun under your pillow, a pistol. You can't stuff it under the mattress. You can't leave it under the couch. You must secure it if you have children in the area, either on a constant basis or visiting. That's just basic gun safety. I don't have an issue with it. But the state of Illinois thought, we need to make this a law. I would tell you this. Every legitimate, responsible gun owner does not need to be told, lock up and secure your weapon. They already know that. And I remind you again that the automatics today, the pistols on sale, if a bullet is in the chamber, ready to fire, a toddler, 2 years old, can pick it up and have enough pressure on the trigger that it fires, killing them or someone else. Now, if they had to put a bullet into the chamber, that toddler and many even young teens would not be able to chamber the bullet. And if you've got a revolver, very simple for them to pull the trigger. Do I need to tell you that if you do not have secure protection for your weapon, get the weapon out of the house and make sure it is secure? By the way, we're getting another report from that transgender who killed six in a Covenant Christian school back in March of 2023. They've been hiding this story in so many different ways. We still don't have the full manifesto being released. Why? I don't know. But they now did, according to the FBI, release copies of some of the journal papers, and the transgender shooter looked at weighing different types of guns. This was a woman who felt she was a man, used the free application for federal student aid and the money for federal student aid to buy the guns. No effort to buy books, to learn anything in school. It was going to be used to buy the weapons to kill. It is not the gun. It's a person who was buying them with the intent to kill. And then she hit a Covenant Christian school that she had attended previously in Tennessee, killed three children, three adults. And the leftist media has just walked away from this. You know why? Because this was a transgender, a woman who believed she was a man. But the left does not want to deal with that aspect. If it had been, someone who supported Trump, oh, they'd be all over. You'd still be hearing that report every day along with J6. You know that. Well, Trump continues to target Venezuelan oil, and in particular, a refinery inside Venezuela.
The president says the U.S. struck a loading facility near the shore of Venezuela somewhere around Christmas Eve. He would not say whether it was the CIA or the military that carried out this strike, and so far we have not seen any video.
There was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs.
Another escalation against Venezuela. President Donald Trump confirmed a strike on land on what he called a dock facility.
I don't want to comment.
It follows a series of U.S. boat strikes, the latest on Monday against a boat accused of carrying drugs. So far, the military has taken out at least 30 boats, killing 107 people. The U.S. Coast Guard has also seized two oil tankers. President Trump says Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro is using the oil to fund drug trafficking.
And that's a fact. Now, what did hit that Venezuelan oil refinery? While Trump will not confirm that it was a CIA drone, that's the information now being leaked out. It was the CIA and one of their drone attacks. You can take it for a fact or continue to question it. Bottom line is, we hit that refinery, and we continue to make sure that any vessels leaving with oil from Venezuela could be targeted or seized by our government. The only ships leaving Venezuela and allowed to go where they're intending to go, that would be Chevron tankers. Yes, Chevron, U.S. company, still operating in Venezuela under permission of our government. And they can load up with fuel and bring it to the U.S. because they have special permits from the U.S. And yes, that money does enhance the Venezuelan government. But it's not like the massive tankers they want to continue to sell out, pushing their fuel across the world. That's why earlier this month, Trump announced a blockade of all sanctioned vessels, and now hitting a refinery inside Venezuela. We're making it clear that we're not going to simply look away. But this situation with Chevron, that's going to come to a head at some point. For one thing, the Venezuelan government could nationalize what Chevron is doing in that country. That could end all of it coming to the U.S. We don't need it, but Chevron wants to exist. Throughout today, I've been running a commentary about the death of my girlfriend. Never met her, but she was my girlfriend in my imagination and in the imagination of thousands and millions of young men and teenagers. We're talking about Brigitte Bardot. She passed away at the age of 91 over the weekend. She was best known for the movie And God Created Woman. And yes, very sexy, a sex kitten, a sex goddess, however you want to describe her. But in her 40s, she turned away from Hollywood. And she turned into more of an activist, particularly on behalf of animals. And you have a singer from Missouri, pop singer Chappelle Roan, who had been praising Brigitte Bardot after learning about her death. But then she realized the other part of the story about Brigitte Bardot, and she pointed out on her Instagram, holy S, I didn't know all that insane S Bardot stood for. I cannot condone this. Very disappointing. She has a Red Wine Supernova album, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, and it names Brigitte Bardot in the opening lyrics, praising her after her death. But then she realized she was an activist not on just behalf of animal rights, but she was an activist for preserving France from the invasion of Muslims, Islam taking over France, replacing the bells of churches with the call for prayer for the Muslims. Brigitte Bardot made it very clear, I cannot stand by this, and she fought against it. And in fact, she went to trial 5 different times accused of racial profiling and claims that she was trying to stir up dissent when she was really trying to protect her nation. So when Chappelle Roan, heard that part of the story, she started backing away. I didn't mean to praise her. Chappelle Roan, born in Missouri, went to school in Willard, graduated from Willard High School. That's just northeast of Springfield, Missouri. Her dad had a family vet practice in Springfield, and her uncle, a Republican member of the Missouri House of Representatives. She's surrounded by a lot of folks who seem to prefer conservative approach, not radical. But Chappelle Roan withdrew her praise for Brigitte Bardot when she realized she was out there against the invasion of France by Muslims. She has described her hometown and her upbringing as conservative and Christian. In a 2023 Variety interview, she said, I struggled with my upbringing and snuck out often. I just wanted to feel like a good person, but I had this part of me that wanted to escape so bad. I would imagine many young people have been through that. I know I have. Maybe you. But when you become old enough to think for yourself, don't you begin to realize what's happening? And yet she really did not bother looking at the history of Brigitte Bardot. She was hung up on all the previous stuff and praising her in an obituary she issued for her. Until she learned she was against open migration, open borders. Brigitte Bardot learned that earlier in her life and said, I cannot condone what we've been doing. Brigitte Bardot, yep. She was my girlfriend. She never knew it. I'm wishing you, on behalf of Jerome and me, the rest of the News Talk staff, a most happy 2026. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.